The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew 6, verses 28 to 34. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Good morning again. Again, if you are visiting with us, welcome. Pastor Alan is away this week with a team in Bolivia. So this morning, the topic I have is seeking the kingdom of God. We'll be referring to Matthew 6, 28 to 34, the text that, thank you, Sue, for reading that text for us. But also we'll make a reference to John 12, verses 24 to 25, where John talks about the seed has to die. If it doesn't die, it doesn't bear fruit. The reason why we get together every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, is because in Hebrews 10, we are reminded not to forsake ourselves from assembling in order that we stir one another in love and in good works. That's the main reason, so that I can encourage you and you can encourage me. We need one another. I need you, you need me. We need the support spurring us toward greater service for Christ. And that can only be found when we gather. So God urges us to gather, to meet, because we need one another to stay strong. This message, you could, if you want to hear a message, you can go on YouTube, you can watch TV. But one of the things that you are going to miss is that you are going to miss the company of one another. I will miss your company, because I'll be watching TV by myself. So our purpose again is to gather so that we can encourage each other to honor walk. We are all on the same path. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning to bring us together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity of just sharing what you put on my heart this morning. I pray for your Holy Spirit to empower us. And whatever gaps, whatever things that I don't say, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would intervene, Lord, and you would get me to say what I need to say. In Jesus' name, amen. To start, I would like to ask you a few questions. Some of these questions, they may necessitate a response, and others, they may not. So the first question I have for you is the following. Do you believe in the authority of the Scripture? Do you believe in the book that you are reading every day? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe that the Bible is God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word? Do you believe that this is the ultimate source for knowledge about God, and that it is a definite guide for our daily lives? Is that something that you believe? Now, so we have this part. This is what we believe. We believe that if we want our lives to be guided, that the Bible will help us do so. Now, I have some other questions for you. And these questions, you don't have to respond, but I want you to kind of have this at the back of your mind. The first is, for how long have you been a Christian? The second, for how long have you been attending church? For how long have you been going to church, including Western Park? And the third one is, as you think about all these years you've gone to church, you've been a Christian, how would you describe your walk? How would you describe your walk today? Where are you at? Earlier this year in January, I retired from my full-time job with the government of Ontario. I'm still teaching part-time at Tyndale. And therefore, I had a little bit of time thinking and pondering upon these questions. And most recently, I went to Mauritius, the country I'm originally from, and I walked down the streets, and I looked at the primary school that I attended. I went to the same church I attended as a young adult. And that was really a stark reminder how fast time flew. I left 37 years ago in 1987. And the country has seen tremendous, everybody asked me, as I meet with them, did you see how much progress has occurred? And yes, there has been a lot of progress. In some of the places I walked, you know, the buildings, the overpasses, the highways, it has changed. And mind you, Mauritius is a very tiny country. It's very small. It's like a rock in the ocean. But as I talk to, and the reason I visit is because my folks are getting very old. My brothers and sisters, they are getting, as me, they are getting weaker. They are getting frail. They are getting old. And I wanted to spend a little bit more time with them. But at the very core of my trip, I realized one thing. The people there, they face the same issues that we face. They have the same aspirations for themselves and their families. And they are, I don't know about you, and they are restless. They are busy. And throughout my trip, that was the thought that came to me. As we get busy, they are restless. They don't have time. And I was reminded what St. Augustine said. He says, we are restless for only one reason. It's because God has made us for himself. Because you made us for yourself, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. We are restless because maybe if we are restless this morning, maybe because we haven't, our hearts are not rested in God. The restless heart is the very heart of every human being. So this morning, what I would like to do is just to revisit some truth why we are here. Things that probably you are aware of, I am aware of, but we need a reminder. In the text that Sue read for us, we are told to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The context of Matthew 6 is a continuation of Jesus, The context of Matthew 6 is a continuation of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from the previous chapter. So you have in mind the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, blessed, blessed, blessed. And then Jesus continues to teach about this. He talks about giving. And with giving, he said, there's a proper way to give. He said, when you give, be very discreet about it. Then he talks about prayer. And he says, when you pray, go into your room if you're able to, close the door and pray quietly. He talks about fasting. He said, when you fast, you don't have to broadcast it to everyone. Hey, today I'm fasting. And this is a story I can tell you. My dad used to fast for his whole life. He fasted. That was a practice that he did. And he used to fast every Thursday of the week. But on Thursday, what he would do a lot of work, housework. And I always ask him, why are you so busy? And he said, you know why I'm busy? I'm busy because I don't want to let anyone know that I'm fasting. And then in the same chapter, Jesus teaches the people around him. He said, you know what? Do not store your treasure here. All your treasures are in heaven, and they are preferable than those that is temporary, than those that are things that you just buy. One of the things, again, that I saw in Mauritius is the amount of houses that are empty. Beautiful houses, and they've all been fenced, completely fenced, some of them with electric wires. And the reason is that the people are not there anymore. And they are completely empty. Beautiful houses. For me, that was a reminder that these are things that are there. We think we own houses, we don't. Even if you own it or not, you are just a tenant. It's just temporary. Then the chapter transitions about trusting the Creator. And one of the things that he says, you cannot trust God if you continue to worry. So there's a choice to be made. Either you trust or you continue to worry. And as Beth mentioned earlier in the prayer and the little presentation that she did, is that in the midst of everything, and she mentioned was all over the places, he said, in the midst of all of this, we have to look up to God, who would eventually bring peace. He is the one. And from the beginning of time, if you think about it, people have been fighting. And why have they been fighting? They've been fighting for, so they say, for peace. People are fighting for peace. But here God is telling us that we need to look up to Him. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Someone says, it's very simple. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He said, this is really what it means, to seek first. What does your prayer looks like? What does it look like in the morning? I think maybe we've got it wrong. Very often, when we think about our walk, when we think about the way we live our Christian lives, it's always about getting something from God to help us. It's always about getting something to help us. But I think the whole thing is about a transformation that God wants us to do. He said at the beginning that God was created in the image of God. We are all created in the image of God. But somehow along the way, that image, because of sin, has been lost. And Christ comes so that He can transform us. He can transform us so that we can get back this image. The whole idea of Christ coming into our lives is really to look at the transformation. It's not just to get something from God. It's to become something because of Him and to live our lives in a different manner. I think it's very easy to get that motive misinformed. And I think these are the things I've done in my own life. Very often, in face of a trouble, we just pray. If you have an exam, if you have a job interview, if you are looking for a position, a new position, I think what you would do, you would pray. So we get self-consumed and we become, supposedly we think, we view our Christianity for our own sake. So we are in this for our own sake. But in Scripture, there's no such a thing than being a Christian for your own sake. And I think if we don't make that shift, we experience a lot of fear, a lot of emotions such as fear, worry, anxiety, discouragement, despair. Because a walk, a Christian walk, very often is determined. We kind of gauge it in terms of the emotions that we are feeling. Somebody said, you know what? If you ask a Christian how they are doing, they'll tell you two things. They'll tell you what their biggest trouble is, and they'll always say this, pray for me. They'll tell you what their biggest issue is, and they'll ask you to pray for them. So a whole thing, we are, it seems that we are in this walk to help us get over that one obstacle that we are currently facing. But I think Christ come not to help us just get over that one thing, so that he can transform us, so that he can change us, so that we can look more like him. When we are told to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he's speaking to all of us, young and old. And I put myself in that second group. I would like to put myself in the first group, the young, but I'm retired, so I'm old. For the old, have you stopped seeking? Did you stop seeking? I think for the young among us who are seeking, are still seeking career, jobs, relationship, places to live, family, Jesus is telling you again, yes, these things are important. We need to continue to pray for our loved ones. These things are important. But he's saying, as you're seeking these things, wait, seek first his kingdom of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. If you seek these things first, all the other things will be given unto you. Now, let me ask you, do you believe in that? Because remember, I asked you that first question and I asked you before. I said, do you believe that the Bible is inerrant, it is God-inspired, it is infallible, and that it can be an ultimate guide for our lives? Remember, I asked you all that question at the very beginning. And the Word says to us, Jesus says to us, if you seek my kingdom first, all the other things will be given to you. It is so simple. Yet it is one of these strong foundation of a faith that we need to remember every day. If we seek his kingdom first, then all these things will come. Again, to those who are not young anymore, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that God is faithful? Do you believe that God will keep his word? It is simplicity, yet it is so deep. The word says God is faithful, that God does not change. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If we really believe what Jesus is telling us, he said, I will keep my word. This is the promise that I give you. I will keep my word. I do not change. Let me tell you the story of my life very briefly. I've had some successes, but I've also had my share of disappointment, rejection, loss, struggle with sin, laid off, injustice. I have applied for jobs during my career that I didn't get. I thought I should have got it. That's the story. That's my story. Is that yours? My story and yours, they are the same. Maybe with a little bit of changes and variations, a little bit of nuances, but my story and yours are the same. And when I listen to the stories of some of my brothers and friends in Mauritius, they're exactly the same. Let me ask you another question. For those of us who've gone through disappointment, relationship that didn't work, failures, losses, struggle with sin, let me ask you one question. Through all of these, has God been faithful? Has God been able to take you through all of these things? If God has been faithful to you, again, now I'm speaking to those who are a little bit older. If God has seen you through all of these, then you and I have a duty. We have a duty to share with the younger generation. We need to give a testimony that the God that we serve is faithful. And the God that they will serve, the Christ that they will serve, is faithful and will be faithful. In Psalm 90, Moses, after having gone through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, in the desert, he said this, Lord, you have been a shelter. Lord, you have been a refuge from throughout all the generations. 40 years wondering what's going to happen. Moses stood up and said the first thing that he said, and if you look at the book of Psalms, it's one of the Psalms that says Psalms of Moses. The only Psalm that it says Psalm of Moses. And he stands up and says, Lord, you have been a dwelling place from generation to generation. And he talks about even before the mountains were created, Lord, you have been a shelter. So whatever the mountains that you have in your life, God is faithful. Because we are encouraged here to seek God first. And throughout whatever we go through, he's going to be faithful. Young and old, we are called to seek God first, not to worry about anything. Because God tells us, His Word tells us that we are being looked at because we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And in order to go through all of this, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus. As Paul says, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So as we seek God's kingdom, the way to do this is not to look at what is currently, because this is our tendency. When I used to work, I would get up in the morning and the first thing I would do, I would pray for my boss because she always used to give me a hard time. But here it says, don't look at your boss. Maybe you should look at Jesus, our real boss, so to speak. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, as I was traveling and I was reading, and some of these words, it's like, wow, you know? Because if you sit in a plane for 12 hours and you're very confined, then you got things to do. And I was reading some of these words, and one of them is, I'm thinking about the traveling, the long road ahead of me, and I'm thinking Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are a few who find it. I'm always puzzled by this. It says there's only a few who find it. I don't know about you, but I want to be among the few. Are you among the few? Did you find the way? Do you find how difficult at times it is? Somehow I think we become complacent. And we are satisfied, I think. I think we are satisfied. At times, anyway, I feel that way. I'm satisfied with the status quo. You know, I'm satisfied. It seems that at times, you know, we are satisfied just coming to church. Oh, I went to church on Sunday. Check. But I think there's more than just coming to church. We are told you've lost your first love. You've lost that energy. You've lost that joy of living. And somehow we are comfy with our walk. We are on cruise control. After church, we just go home and eat lunch. Are you thinking about lunch right now? But Christ comes so that he can live in us. He can live inside of us so that people can see when they look at our lives, when they look the way we behave, the way we talk, the way we act. They won't just see us. They would see the Christ in us. Again, remember the question I asked you, do you believe in these words? I'm going to, probably you're seeing that I'm making a lot of references. From the outset, what I wanted to do, I wanted to revisit some of this truth. Some of the words that Jesus told his disciples, and it is in us, it is in the Bible for us to be reminded. He says, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, my words will abide in you. And you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. And we are called not just to come to church, we are called to bear fruit. Are we still bearing fruit? In Isaiah, there is this invitation. This invitation in Isaiah 55. It is an invitation saying, do you feel dry? Do you feel tired? Do you feel thirsty? Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. Those who do not have money, come buy, eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Just come. Wherever you are, if you're thirsty, if you're in need of something, come. Seeking God's kingdom comes at a cost. In John 12, verse 24-25, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This is some kind of a paradox. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Unless the wheat, unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear fruit. Over the last couple of years, I have befriended a farmer friend. I didn't know this. And as he sowed the seeds, especially squash, and then he asked me to transplant them, one of the things he says to me, you know, the first two leaves that come, they are known as germination leaves. The only reason these two leaves are there is to help it germinate. And you have to remove them when you transplant them, because these are there just to germinate. And if you don't remove these two leaves, they can bring diseases to the plant. So you remove them when you transplant them. And this whole idea is that if you keep the seed, if it doesn't fall, it doesn't die, then it will not bear fruits. Pastor Allen very often talks about these two worlds. There's a world, if you see the world as a place of scarcity, then whatever you get, you want to keep it yourself. But if you see the world as a place of abundance, then you're free to let go. How do you see the world today? Do you see the world as a place of scarcity? Or do you see the world as a place of abundance? There is enough for everyone, and we can share. Are you bearing fruits? What? Think about your life before you became a Christian and now. Think about your walk. Has any part of your life died? Again, we very often we see Christianity as something we just tack on. This is something else that I will do. And therefore, our lives, they are just through the highs and the lows. I used to be a very emotional person. I am an introvert. I hate speaking in public. And people used to say, I think I read a book where you have the different type of personalities. And I think one of them, you know, you have the sanguine, etc., etc. I think I was the melancholic one. You know, I'd rather be with myself. But something over the last little while I've learned is that our emotions, very often they do not come from God. A lot of our emotions, it's really because we are self-centered. We let the things that are happening in our lives determine how we feel. So we feel disappointed because we didn't get something. But Christ says, I have come so that you can have an abundant life. I think what Christ wants to do, what Jesus wants to do, is put his life inside of us. He is in you so that the manifestation can cover the earth with his glory. This is what it means to seek his kingdom first. Now, if you're a Christian for your sake, you won't walk in his glory. You will just walk in the circumstances of your life. You will be doing as good as the things are happening in your life. How you're doing will be dictated or will be determined by how things are going instead of Christ living inside of you. We cannot let the things we are going through determine how we feel, because Christ lives in us. And he said, I have this abundant life. There's only one reason Christ lives inside of us. There's only one reason I believe we are here. We are here to shine. We are here to shine for Christ. We are supposed to be the light of the world. We are supposed to shine, and we are supposed, because remember the questions I asked you before, that God is faithful, that God doesn't change, that God keeps his promises, that God will see us through whatever we are going through. that God is going to show us the way. Why am I here? What makes you tick? What is your purpose? Why do you wake up in the morning? I wake up in the morning because I have a purpose in God. I am created in His image. You and I, we are created in His image. We have His values. We are not for sale. We are not on our own. 37 years. We have this little life, and it goes so fast. I remember some 20 years ago, when I just joined the government. This lady, we were working together, and this lady, Iola, I remember her words very well. Shortly, we became friends, and she said to me, "John, I just want to let you know I'm retiring." That was in 2006. And I said, "You are retiring?" She said to me, "Yes." She said, "John, I'm going to tell you something. In a few years from now, you're going to retire, and you're going to find out how fast the time goes." For those who've retired, is that true? We have this one shot. We have this life that God gives us. The psalmist says, you know what? 70 years. If you are a little, if you are stronger, I'll give you 80. So if we are over 80, don't think about death. What it's saying, this is a bonus. If we are nearing 70, 80, this is a bonus. This is a gift. We are here to shine. We are told to redeem the time because the time is short. Because one day, the Bible tells us that we have to give an account of how we've spent our time. The hymn we sang at the beginning of the service was one of the words that came, that His mercy endures forever. Do you believe that? That His mercies endures forever, and that His love never fails. Sometimes, you know, our trouble doesn't change. You realize that. Whether you're a Christian or not, our trouble don't change. Our boss remains the same. Our bosses, they are exactly the same. They don't change. So let's not get lulled into sleep. Let's not just sleep through it. We can wake up and say, you know what? We've been around church for a while. But do we know Christ? Do we know Him as He wants us to know Him? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, "But have come so that they may have life and have it abundantly." I remember when I used to work daily, I was in that kind of a survival mode. Do you think life is a daily grind? And the only thing we wait for very often is for Friday to come or our next vacation. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that at times as you go to work, you're thinking about Friday or when you go on vacation, you ask yourself the question, wow, I wish my work was a little bit different. Christ come, he's telling us to seek his kingdom first. And all these other things are given to us. We are reminded that there is this abundance. The kingdom of God is an abundant kingdom. It is not a kingdom of scarcity. The kingdom of God is a kingdom where there is peace, the peace we were talking about at the beginning. The kingdom of God is about the joy. The kingdom of God is bigger than the trouble that we are facing currently, our immediate trouble. Old and young, we are called to seek God's kingdom first. We do that by living intentionally. And let's not allow the events of our life determine how we feel. There's also where we recognize that the grain of seed falls to the ground and die. If that doesn't happen, we cannot bear fruits. We are here for one reason, and one reason only. We are here to shine for Christ. In shining for Christ, in making our light shine, we contribute to making his kingdom seen, so that others can also seek that kingdom. Amen.